My opening word today comes from Matthew 11. And I had chosen a couple verses, seeing that this is Communion Sunday. This is September 1st. Hard to believe, the first day of the ninth month of the year already. And also it's Labor Day weekend. So I thought this verse was probably perfect for us. And then as I was reading it, I realized that it actually kind of fits in maybe a little bit with what Pastor Jim has been speaking to us about also. So I'm going to start at verse 25. I planned on starting a little bit later, but let's start with verse 25. So Matthew 11, 25. And at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Here we go. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise and honor and glory to you today. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have given us the opportunity to take on your yoke, and that we can put on that yoke. We can sit at the feet of the rabbi and we can learn from you, Lord. And that your yoke is easy. When we learn the lessons that you have for us, it can teach us so much about how to live. Lord, we are here today to worship you, to praise your name, to learn about you, and to learn how to walk closer and closer to you each day. Lord, we pray that you will be blessed by this worship service that we have today. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's so true. And a lot of times people don't realize that and they walk around so bound. You know, we're bound to what other people think and what other people say and what other people believe and what other people like. Do you ever notice that, how bound we are? Man, we've been set free. You know, we're set free to believe and to love the Lord, to serve the Lord, to praise the Lord. So it's exciting to be free. That does mean a lot to me because I want to tell you, I can remember my life, how bound up I was. And it wasn't fun. In fact, the way I was bound up is that it basically turned into hate because it seemed nobody liked me anyway, so I don't care who you are, what you think. So it worked in the opposite direction. Rather than humbling me, I struck out and I hurt other people because of it. And that's what a lot of us do. And that's why we're free. So those that do strike out and want to hurt us and come against, talk against us and all of these things, realize, see, you don't know where they're at. You don't know the things that have happened in their life to make them that way. See, that's all learned behavior. And so hopefully that'll make it a little easier for you to overlook how other people do what they do. And at times to you, just realize, boy, there might have been some real hurtful things that went on in their lives. So start praying for them. Lift them up. Go out of your way to befriend them. You got to show them what freedom really is. Amen. All right. If you would, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'd like to read two verses. These things we also speak, not in words which men's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And it says in verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for the freedoms that you give us and the work that you've done in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, that you help us to discern the spiritual with the spiritual, that we might grow in you and learn to walk by faith and to be effective in what you've called us to do and be. And Father, thank you for the understanding that we have because we rely on you and we allow your Holy Spirit to make your word lie alive in our lives. Thank you for all that you've done in for us, Lord, and we just give you praise in it. In Jesus' name, amen. See, the natural man doesn't understand what the Spirit of God has to say and what the Lord really wants us to know. And there's a lot of things, I think, in the Word that really people get afraid about. They're fearful. We talked a little bit about it last week. You know, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And we need to learn to walk with that. Paul also talked to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, where he says, you know, the Lord hasn't given you the spirit of fear. Here's a young man, and there's a lot of people that look down on him, I think because of his youth. And he might have been a little intimidated about what he shared and how he shared, or if he should share. And so Paul first, before that verse, before it, he says, Timothy, he said, stir up that gift that is inside of you. Do y'all know we got a gift? Some of us might say, I don't have one. Yeah, you do. We all got a gift. And we even use some other gifts of the Holy Spirit in our lives at particular times for an individual. You know, it's kind of like, well, where'd that come from? Well, it was the Lord. And it was his doing and his gifting to you just for that moment, for that time. But he tells Timothy, he says, God's not giving you a spirit of fear. Don't fear what other people think or what they say about you or how they treat you. He says, don't even go there. You need to be strong in what the Word says and what the Lord tells you and how the Holy Spirit leads you. Folks, a lot of us are, I've been very intimidated before. But I've learned to just stand and say, God, it's all up to you. You know, if people don't want to listen or they rebuke me, then, Lord, I'll just give you praise in it. You know, I've noticed that a lot of times if you're doing the will of God, you will suffer persecution. Did y'all know that? Bible says, man, we're supposed to give praise and shout about it. That, you know, even the disciples, they counted, I was worthy to suffer for Jesus. You know, and that's what happened, I think, in the Colosseums when they were persecuting the Christians. Can you imagine what was going on there? Leading these people out, turning the lions and other wild animals loose on them, And people were paying big money to get into Colosseum to see this. But you know what God did with it all? They were proud to suffer for the Lord. And they all went out there and they sang hymns as the lions were tearing them apart and attacking their ranks. They sang. And when the guards went down to get another batch to bring them out, others on the side that were not chosen at that time said, "Hey, take us, not them." And they would ask to trade places with me. "I want to go next." They were wanting to go. And so as the people watched the Christians being killed, martyred, and persecuted in the arenas, and they seen the praise and the worship to God that they were doing, and sensed the anointing that was there and in it, do you know they were jumping out of the stands to join them? "Man, I want that. I want that." And they joined them. So maybe that's why they quit doing it. You know, that's why all these other churches in that are being persecuted and killed for what they believe, like in North Korea, China, and all of these other places, they're growing. Do you know, I seen a news report that over, I think it was 15,000 in Iran mosques had closed. It's a big number of mosques that is closed because people were becoming Christians and nobody went to the mosques anymore. And that's some of the worst persecution that's going on. So Paul's saying to Timothy, "Man, don't let them hold you back. You got to get out and really praise and serve God and do what he's calling you to do." What a thrill that is. And there was a Romans 8:15. It says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." And then it says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." So, folks, there's a lot that God wants to do in us and through us and with us if we'll let him. Anybody want to live an exciting life? Well, we can do that. Christianity's not boring. You know, sometime I'll take you with me and we'll go do some exciting things and see what God will do. Amen? Man, I loved when I got in front of a Harley gang at a funeral and got to share Jesus with them. That was an exciting time. I didn't know what was going to happen or whether it's even going to come out of their life, but it didn't matter. And I got to share with them. And you know, when I said, "I want to pray for you right now." And immediately they bowed their head. All of them bowed their head and I prayed for them. And they honored that. And I know the funeral director afterwards came up and he said, "Thank you. Thank you. Thank you." Because, see, they didn't want God at all in there. They tried to shut God out. They wanted it all dark in there with the enemy. And yet God says, "No, I want some light here. I want some light." I said, "Hey, Jim, would you get out there and give him some light?" Let me tell you, before I did, I had to pray about it. I did. And I didn't even know what I was going to talk about or what I was going to say, but I said, "All right, Lord, here we go. Let's see the light shine." And let me tell you, the darker it is, the brighter the light. Did you ever notice that? take a Bic in a room, just blacker than black. You just can't see your hand in front of you. And you light that lighter, just a little light, and watch the darkness flee. And that's the way it is with the Spirit of God. And we're afraid. We're the light. Oh, man, the enemy just, he worries about if somebody's going to light their light and let it shine. Because he knows lives will be changed, hearts will be mended and put back together. People will be made alive, but we hold back sometimes. So let's look at John 16:12, where it says, Jesus talked to his disciples and he said, I've got a lot to say to you, or much more to say. But he said, there's more than what you can bear at the moment. And so we need to recognize limitations of sometimes our understanding. So Jesus acknowledges to the disciples that they're not ready to receive all the teachings and revelations he has for them. Their understanding is at this point still limited, likely due to their connection or their current emotional state, because Jesus was telling them how he's going to be crucified and how he's leaving them. You know, and you kind of know how that goes when, you know, when your pastor here had to retire. And I'm sure it wasn't because he wanted to. But you know how you felt? We're losing our pastor after all of these years. Well, the disciples were at the same thing. Jesus, we've given up everything for you. We've followed you for over 3 years now. Lord, all of this has been sacrificed. What are we going to do now? If you're going, what are we going to do? So I'm sure with what Jesus was trying to share with them that they were kind of heartbroken about the situation. And it was hard for them to really think of really what Jesus was trying to tell them and the other things that they would receive because of it. You know, with us, we're blessed with a lot of that because we have the Word of God. They didn't. They didn't have the book like we do, the Word of God. So it was just things that they had heard. Nothing was put together. And it's like, okay, what are we going to do? So when Jesus was walking with the disciples, do y'all know that he had his 12 disciples? We all know that. Remember how he sent them out two by two into the villages to preach the word of God, heal the sick, cast out demons, and do all these things? Well, then he had 70 others later on that he sent out, also two by two. And they went out healing and casting out demons and preaching the gospel. Well, one day after they were all back, Jesus shared something with them. Look, if you would, to John's Gospel, chapter 6. He started talking about what we just took, the Lord's Supper. He was talking about the bread and the wine. But he said it this way. He said, you've got to take and eat my flesh, and you've got to drink my blood if you want to be part of me. Well, they couldn't grasp that at all. In fact, in verse 60, it says, well, maybe I'll back up a little bit. It says, therefore, many of these disciples, they heard this, said, verse 60 now, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? See, that's why we hear some things and sometimes we just don't understand. It's like, wait a minute, where are you coming from? I've never heard that before. And so it's a hard saying. It's something we don't understand right yet. And that's the way they were. What do you mean we're going to eat your flesh and drink your blood? How can this be? You talking cannibalism or whatever? And so there was a lot of talk going on. Now, these are the people that went out with the anointing of the Lord, healing people. And seeing the power of the Spirit of God over demons. They were doing the things that Jesus was doing. They experienced it all, but yet Jesus says this one thing, and they have trouble. This is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Then in verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? See, that's why, remember I told you before, I always make people angry. You know, and my wife even asked me if I always intended to do that. And that's like, no, I just talk about Jesus. I just talk about Jesus, make people upset. You see, when I do talk, I really want people to listen, and I would love for them to understand. You know, my oldest daughter, she's kind of in a lukewarm church. Good church, but lukewarm. Doesn't really preach the word. Well, they preach the word, but not in depth. How can I put it? It's a big church. I don't know, they might be up to 1,000 members. No, I'm not sure. But anyway, I talked to my daughter, and of course, there's things she didn't agree with, and it's okay. She can be wrong, right? And I tell her, I say, you can be wrong. It's okay. And so I would never get offended at her because of this. I said to her, I said, I'm so glad that you have this personal relationship with the Lord where he speaks to you and you speak with him rather than you just saying like you used to, well, dad says this. You know, really, no, it's that doesn't hold water what dad says because dad can be wrong at times. So I told her, I'm so proud of you that you talk to the Lord. He talks to you and you have little bit different ideas, but you're walking with the Lord. And I know that someday as she goes on that the Lord will help her to understand what she's doing. But anyway, she's kind of upset with me that she doesn't talk too much about the Bible with me anymore. She goes to church, loves the Lord. But she asked me this one time. See, I'm good at making people upset. But her son was having a real problem with alcohol. This is my oldest daughter. She's a school teacher, real smart. But these are spiritual things. Doesn't matter how smart you are. You know what I mean? Got nothing to do with it. It's got to do with revelation. And her son had Liam. He's 23. But anyway, he had a real alcohol problem, had an accident and different things. And finally, in this church that Sherry goes to, they had an AA program. I think AA is good because there's a lot of people, and I told her this. She says, well, Liam goes to AA and he's doing really good now. And I said, you know, that's really good because a lot of times people, they need to start somewhere with dealing with things. You know what I'm saying? You got to start somewhere. And sometimes these programs God will use to kind of get people started in a way. But it's not the answer. And she's thinking it's the answer. And I said, Sherry, Jesus is the answer. It's not AA. You see, when God deals with the heart, he gives you a new heart and a new spirit. He changes us. It's not that you're trying to be good so you can be a Christian. Oh, I got to go to church because I want to be saved. It's not that at all. It's the change of heart. It's a new spirit. Ezekiel 36, 26 talks about God. Lord says, I'll give you a new heart and I'll give you a new spirit. I'll give you my spirit. That way you'll be able to keep my commandments. In other words, you'll really want to keep God's commandments. It changes everything. And so I said, Sherry, that is not the answer. It's just the start. And Liam's not saved. But she's thinking he is. Folks, I take salvation very seriously. And just because somebody's even a preacher doesn't mean they're saved. I've heard good preachers before and they wasn't saved. I had an uncle that was a preacher. He came and did a revival meeting for us at church and he stayed with us. Ray Ditch was his name. And he told me himself, he says, you know, Jim, in fact, he baptized my wife when she was in Sunday school. Because he had this missions church and they had a lot of members. And baptized her because she received the Lord there. And he says, you know, Jim, he says, one time here I'm doing all this work. People are getting saved left and right. And he said, I had an evangelist come to my church and do a revival like this. And as he was preaching, I heard some words about the Lord that the Holy Spirit really got a hold of me. And it really concerned me. And he says, I went up to the evangelist and he says, hey, I don't think I'm saved. And the evangelist said to him, he says, well, you know what to do. And so he said he went to the altar and he knelt and he gave his heart and his life to the Lord. See, he's been raised in religion. He's been raised in church. He's seen it all. And so he thought he was good enough. And yet preached all of those years and was on his way to hell and didn't even know it. That's why I like the word saying, and it says, and the Spirit of God will witness with our spirit that we are, in fact, a child of God. Folks, know that you're saved. No. Don't hope. But know. And then that way the Holy Spirit can minister and share new things. Well, Sherry's still growing. We talk, not much about the Lord yet, but she's starting to look at other churches. And so now she's starting to grow and starting to see things a little bit different. The reason I say this as a lukewarm church is because, folks, lukewarmness rubs off. It's like, oh, well, maybe it doesn't really matter. Oh, well, maybe this is okay. And it rubs off on us, and then we get to where, we just go to church, we have friends, good time, and we go home, and we're good. I don't want that in my life. Folks, I'm very serious. I try to be very serious. I'm not perfect by any means. I want to tell you, God gets a hold of me, and he shakes me. And I'm so thankful. I got up this morning trying to get this word together. And I said, well, I guess, Holy Spirit, you've got something you want to share today because I can't make anything work. I don't know how many times I tried to change it and do it, and nothing works. You know, and so it was, I don't know, 2:30, maybe I got up because I knew I had to, I had things down, but it's, did you ever do that, put it all down? Well, I don't know if that's the right thing. But I'm going to tell you, folks, birds of a feather flock together. There's a reason for it. But I hunger for the word. I know the importance of it. I know where I was before and how I was before. And I know the Lord's coming back very soon. And I want to be ready. So that's why you hear me kind of rant sometimes, and I guess that's what I'm doing now. But if it can make you think, and I'm not trying to put doubt in anybody's heart, but I'm just saying, no. No, I was in a denomination, and I know I got to quit here, I'm sorry. I was in a denomination where I was saved. But they didn't believe in the gifts. They didn't believe really in the Holy Spirit to move. They didn't believe in all that stuff. But yet God used it to save me in that church. But then I progressed. The Lord put me in different areas, different places. And I started hearing the word differently. And then I said, man, I want that. And finally, I said to myself, I said, well, it's in the Bible. It's got to be true. Is that right? I don't analyze the Bible and think, I don't know if that's really true. Do you do that? I don't analyze the Bible. I'm not smart enough. But I'm smart enough to trust God. And that's what I'm asking all of us to do. Be smart enough to just trust God. Your intellect, I'm sure you're very smart. But there's a lot of smart people in hell, let me tell you. And the real wise people then learn that God is the way, that Jesus is the answer, and he's the only way. And therefore, they learn to just trust him. Amen? Let me close in prayer, and then I do want to do the blessing over you. I think that's important. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, please take the ramblings and any foolishness that I might have said. But Lord, only leave what you say and what you said into people's hearts. Let us search out your word and what you want us to know, and what you will use to change our lives and our hearts. And Lord, we just thank you. You're so good, and you care for us all. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord's blessing over you is this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and may give you peace.